We are a blessed people. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Enjoy His presence and His people. You know, we've been talking about the awareness of the hour that we're coming into and what we need to do to prepare ourselves in this hour to stand. And, you know, we've admonished ourselves by the word to make sure that we're putting on the full armor of God. And I trust that daily before you go out into this corrupt and perverse society that you're adorning yourself, that you're taking time in prayer and making sure that every piece is in place. The assurance of your salvation, knowing who you are, that helmet of salvation, that you are a child of God, saved by grace through faith, praise God. The awareness of who you are and that your righteousness is in God. And we have that breastplate then on very tight and making sure that our hearts are covered and clean through the washing of the water of the Word. And we could go through each and every item, but just taking time and saying, am I prepared? Am I safe now to walk out? Do I have the shield of faith in place? And am I going out with an attitude of offensiveness, the sword of the Spirit in my hand, which is the Word of God, praying? Amen. And so the realization that we're at war, we've been talking about that aspect and making conscious effort, not just getting up and going about another day, but becoming more aware that Satan is in this hour going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're not ignorant, the scripture says, of his devices. And so we know that his main tactic, and we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, his main tactic will be to get you to question the Word of God, to get you to misuse the Word of God. He will question God before you continually. Has God said? He'll rail on God in your presence and say that God really doesn't care, that you need to take things into your own hands, and after all, you're God, your eyes have been opened. He'll use the word, you have the Word of God, you know the Word of God, just take it up and do exploits. But the problem is there are things that out of our own hearts we've called the will of God or the way of God. And so the need to humble ourselves before the Word, to humble ourselves quietly in the presence of God so that we can hear that still small voice. This is the way. Walk in it. And so we've been emphasizing that need of each of us stirring up that gift that's in us and us doing our study and preparing ourselves for that hour. What I want to talk about a little bit tonight to change course just a little bit is to realize that a great part of our responsibility in preparation of this last hour is to make sure that those around us make it. Amen. Our wives, our children, the brothers and sisters in the body. What a tragedy, as we saw in the last session, that Lot made it out of Sodom. And as we said, the problem was that it took a while to get Sodom back out of Lot. I think had Lot been more conscious of family, more conscious of others than that success and capacity of prospering, and it wasn't just a financial thing. The gain that he got from fame, sitting at the gates, the very same thing that Job experienced and had to deal with in his trial and cleansing. Whatever it is that's in man, that success builds up this ego or this self-worth. The irony, especially in this society that we live, that people truly have worth and are motivated by this desire to show more and prove more what they're capable of. We're a driven people here in this country. It's interesting that other nations, we more than any other nation are under the influence and intoxication that comes from this workaholic mentality. It's being pressed upon our society by the higher ups and telling us that somehow it allows us to project self and finally arrive at that worth. Other nations aren't that much. I think I heard someone say just the other day that Germany, they're going on strike, some of them, if they don't get their 29-hour work week. And so we see Satan taking people both ways, don't we? Into idleness or into idolatry and covetousness. So how do we protect ourselves in this hour as we've been dealing with that need to watch and to pray that this day doesn't come on us unawares? And we said, and we'll end with this for a little bit of the review, we said that one of the things we have to become aware of is that, and we really have trouble with this, we don't know our own hearts. We think we're the expert on us. But actually the Holy Spirit is. Amen? Actually the Word of God is. Because the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and, you know, we always try to hide behind motives. The Word of God will reveal your motives, your intentions, why you do what you do. What you do is what you are. What you speak is what's in your heart. Amen? By your fruit, you are known. And so we have those truths that surround us, that in love need to be applied to us by our brothers and sisters and by the Word of God. Not, as we've shared so many times, some of us trying to put our own conscience or our own opinions or our own preferences off on others. We're not talking about that. We're talking about bringing light and the truth of God's Word to one another. And that is what's going to help us to stand. That's what's going to cause us to be able to separate ourselves from that spirit, that seducing spirit of doctrines of devils that are going to come in this last day. Deceivers who are going about deceiving and being deceived. Oh, beloved, if ever there was a day when we need the Word of God to rule in our hearts, it's today. Amen? And I'm not talking about more knowledge. I'm talking about more obedience to the Word of God. Now, most of us here are doing a pretty good job. But you know, being content with good keeps us from being great. And you say, well, I'm not that ambitious of a person. I'm content with mediocrity. God is not. Amen? Because the scripture makes it very clear that every one of us in here, by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, has been commanded to pursue perfection and to pursue holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? God has put in the church gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And so we're living in an hour when we would, many of us, look around us and judge ourselves by ourselves and saying, look how much better we're doing than they are, whoever they are. And we come into the fallacy of judging ourselves by ourselves. Now, as a fellowship, you know, we have a high standard, and the reality is we know the scriptures, and I have no fear of being contradicted in what I'm about to say. I would take this fellowship and we could go to every church around here in a 10-mile radius, and there would be no congregation that would be able to stand up individual by individual to the knowledge of the Word of God that we have. I'm not afraid of a contradiction. I've been around in a lot of these churches. I know what people are capable of in their knowledge of Scripture, and it's tragic today, the lack of knowledge. Now the danger is, knowledge does what? It puffs up. If knowledge is not applied, it does nothing else but puff itself up and delight in what we know rather than in what we are. And so tonight I want to talk about a little bit the need for us to step back and go, okay, in loving one another and preparing ourselves to stand in this last day, to keep ourselves from being self-deceived and thinking that we somehow know our own hearts. What's it going to require for us in this hour of deceiving and being deceived to stand? The scripture makes it very clear that as children of light, we're to run to the light. We're to be a people that love reproof. Turn over to Ephesians with me and we'll go ahead and jump into this thing for tonight. We're to be a people that love the truth, that love the light. The phrase in Ephesians says it very clearly here as we've been talking. In chapter 5, verse 10, look at what he says to us. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And that in a nutshell is what we're talking about. Is the walk that we're on individually, is it acceptable unto the Lord? Is God pleased with this? Has God signed off on the course that we're on right now? You know, we know the scripture speaks to us and says that there is a good, there is an acceptable, and there is a perfect will of God, isn't there? What is acceptable to the Lord? Perfection and nothing else. What is acceptable unto the Lord? Absolute effort and nothing else. Pressing toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. We were talking last night in the deacons meeting, and I'll actually make reference to some of these things, but we were talking about the lack of attendance on Friday night, family night. And people were coming up with a number of reasons as to why this has been slacking off. And we might speak toward some of these things as we look at all of them, however, being unacceptable. Because the Word of God mandates that we meet daily. One of the things that people said, they justified, they said, well, you know, during basketball season and when away games come, there's not that many people up there. So why bother to go? Can we remind ourselves that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there in the presence? Jesus is worth coming up here to visit. Amen? It's about Him. It's not about the two or three. It's about Jesus being present. It's about Him calling His church together. It's about the body ministering and caring one for another. It's about overcoming this absolute bondage of selfishness. The body of Christ, no member is allowed to live unto himself. Amen? It's not me and Jesus. We are all members of the body of Christ. We are all placed in the body as it pleases Him. We, as the scriptures go on, and I'm not going to turn to every scripture right now. It would take us too much time to get to where we're going. But we realize that the apostle speaking says to us then that we, as the body of Christ, that as He places us into the body as it pleases Him, that we're to have the same care one of another. Oh, beloved, it shouldn't be. There's not going to be that many people there. My inner circle isn't going to be there. It's not about you. Amen? It's about building the body of Christ up. And that's what we want to talk about some tonight, that we need to be, again, prepared in the scriptures for this hour. And one of the ways that we can do that is to allow all of these selfish actions and the self-indulgences and all of these things to be destroyed through our obedience to the Word of God as we take up our cross daily and follow Him. Amen? It's a daily process. The death is daily. The fellowship and communion and edification of the body is daily. You go to work daily. You eat daily. The love of the presence of God, the privilege of coming to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, amen. Some of us just frankly aren't glad anymore. It's a drudgery. We're tired. We're so busy doing our thing that we can't do God's thing. The priorities of the edification of the body of Christ. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What's acceptable to God is to walk in obedience to His Word, to keep His commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and they will not be grievous unto us. Has obedience been becoming grievous to you lately? Can't if there's not a loss of the first love. You see, the reason we're speaking toward these things is because, again, of the other biblical principle. The reality of it all, beloved, is this: by our fruit we're known. Amen? If our fruit is self-indulgence and a love of me and my comfort and my ease and my preferences over my brothers, that's the fruit of who I am. That's what I am. You can say anything else you want, but it's not true. As we begin to go back and search the Scriptures, the mandate that's upon us to lay our lives down one for another is clear. And so we'll look at some of these as we go on. And so he speaks to us and says, I just want you to prove what's acceptable unto the Lord. He said in verse 8, look, walk as children of light. Have no fellowship. Look at the phrase, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them or expose them for what they are. Whatever it is that opposes the light of God's Word, God's presence, expose it. Bring it out. He talks about things that were being done, of course, within the community that were unacceptable behavior, and he gave the list just prior as we start this chapter off, you know, and we see the whole list there that we're very familiar with, and he says that those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he said, if you see any of that stuff, expose it, reprove it. It's a shame to even speak of those things. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And then he talks about us walking circumspectly. A love of the truth, a love of light. As we come together, as we saw in our last session, know those that, you know, are laboring among you. And he said, Paul said, know of those holy scriptures and of who you have received these principles and these truths, the holy scriptures, which are profitable to bring reproof and rebuke and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so we come together, and he places us in the body as it pleases him, and we interact around the Word of God, koinonia, and we are constantly bringing reproof, exposure. We should delight in that. What do you see in me that needs to be removed, that I can be more like Jesus? Don't you want to walk out there and have people say, and they took note that they had been with Jesus? Look at this life. Look how separate and holy, how distinct these people are in the course that they're on, in the lives that they live, in the ambitions that they have. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, look over there for just a second, and we see this statement as he's following up on the gifts that he had placed in the body and the responsibility of seeing this perfection being brought to the saints. But he goes on and he says this in verse 15. I want you to speak the truth in love so that we may, say it with me, these words. If we probably analyzed our own lives right now, we would call, the majority of us in here would call ourselves mature Christians. Some of us because of our longevity, some of us because of our knowledge. Some of us because we think more highly of ourselves. But if we look at this in the context, it's very obvious that the goal is perfection, which requires a constant growing up. A constant having to deal with many of those adolescent tendencies. And we all know what one, the tendencies, adolescence, right? Some of us can still remember adolescence, some of us are in it. The self-consciousness, the world revolving around us. The greatest tragedy that could ever happen is a pimple on portrait day or whatever. Just that overoccupation with self. It's an obvious awareness of adolescent behavior and thought processes. He said, I want you to grow up into Christ. And then he speaks of what we were sharing earlier, the need to recognize the church, the body, for how it functions and how God has created it to work. And he said, I'm framing this church together. I'm organizing it. I'm putting together a structure. This city whose builder and maker is God. This church to whom the gates of hell cannot prevail. I'm putting this thing together. And they are fitly joined and compacted. That word compacted just means a uniting together. A knitting. Part of why the Holy Spirit is causing us to come together constantly and even more as this day approaches us that we're talking about preparing for is to cause that knitting or that entwining to take place. That's why we can't have our little cliques, our little special six people. This whole thing has to be entwined together. A 7-4-fold cord, amen? Letting God put us as it pleases Him, use us as it pleases Him. Part of what we're going to see tonight is if we really begin to pray and be open to what the Holy Spirit's doing when we're up here on Fridays or any other time, we're going to pull ourselves away from our selfish preferences and see if we cannot minister more to the body of Christ and hear what the Holy Spirit might be saying that would pertain to others that we're very unfamiliar with and how we might be able to edify them and encourage them and lift up hands that are hanging down. We're talking about what we can do to stand in this last day. And so he says here that there has to be this that's taking place. This is what these ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they're here to make sure that this uniting, this coming together, lives being intertwined is taking place. To make us strong. It says, to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So do you think that every part excuses you? Or does every part mean all of us as God pleases? This strengthening, this opportunity, this privilege. You know, in prayer and spending just a lot of time in the presence of the Lord over this one area, and don't mistake my urgency for rebuke. I'm not bringing rebuke. I have this urgency and I have this desire for us to be able, not only for each of us to be prepared, but for God to be glorified when people can see the church for what it is. Amen? In a day of individualism. In a day of lawlessness where every man's doing his own thing. Demanding his own rights. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. I have a right to my time. You don't have any time that belongs to you. You're the Lord's. Amen? We need to get that thinking out of our minds. One of the other things that people said was, well, you know, they don't go because there's no daycare on those, some of those nights. And my mind just kind of went, okay, let me hear this. I want you to come into the house and we're going to spend some time together. Well, have me excused because I bought some land. And have me excused because I bought some oxen. And have me excused because there's no child care. Our idealism, our lack of understanding the whole purpose of why we're there. And I'm not just talking about Friday nights. I'm talking about Tuesday nights. I'm talking about Thursday nights. I'm talking about the Saturdays of the young adults meeting and the Saturdays that we of home fellowship groups. And I'm talking about the general services that we have. You know, we've talked before about Islam and them interrupting themselves, whatever they're doing at a certain time to pray. Well, thank God we're not just limited to those hours. We're always praying. Amen. Men ought always to pray. Would to God that Christians in America would stop letting the secular dictate to the spiritual. As we prepare ourselves in this hour for the coming of the Lord. Let me move on because we're going to have trouble getting to where I want to get tonight. But we find every part making increase of the body unto the, say it with me, edifying of itself, the edifying of itself in love. To not partake of this edifying process is to just reveal the love of self. To be involved scripturally in this edifying process, the building up of the body of Christ, requires a daily death, a daily cross that we were talking about. It requires a preferring others. And if we'll step back and look and analyze then why we may be falling short, why all of a sudden we've got some new liberties, we've mentioned this before. I'll speak to it again. I'm not, you know, we're not talking about a letter of the law thing to where, say, we're meeting on it's Thursday and it's prayer night, or it's Friday and it's family night, and there happens to be a special event. You know, you have an anniversary and you want to bless your wife and you want to take her out somewhere. And we've mentioned that before, and as we pointed out then that it's not a letter of the law, it was very interesting to me how quickly the pendulum swung. And now it's my second cousin's fourth nephew, somebody's birthday. Or whatever it might be. Well, you know, me and some of my closest, we're at home. The body's still together, but us six are just going to be at, you know, us six that are always together all the time anyway are going to hang out at the house tonight. We're still fellowshipping in the Lord. This is still the body gathering together. As He wills. And we're dealing with some very practical things here, but the practical things are what are heart revealing. It's fruit. It's fruit that we can judge and discern ourselves. Look at it tangibly. Let's look at the hard issues for just a moment. Turn over real quickly to Romans, and look at a couple of different issues here that I think are important for us. Look at chapter 15 of Romans. And we don't want to bog down into some of the bigger doctrinal aspects, but these are just as important. It is the Word of God. We're very familiar with what took place in the 14th chapter. And he starts off chapter 15 and he says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are mature," and we said just not too long ago that many of us see ourselves as mature believers, strong in faith, "ought to bear the weaknesses, the infirmities of the weak." And then look at that next phrase. What's it say? "And not to please ourselves." There's people among us that need their hands lifted up. There's people among us that need indoctrinated. You know what's funny? One of the guys was mentioning just the other day, we have recently had a couple of mature couples get together. Couples that didn't go through discipleship training. And it was amazing to watch how many of those mature couples didn't know how to walk in proper relationships. They'd never been really taught, per se. Oh, they've sat in the services, and we've talked about it in services. But how many of you know until it comes to you, getting it applied is different than hearing it taught? And the point I'm making is that we can't draw false assumptions that because somebody's been around for a while or has possibly been, you know, even regenerated for a while, is established in the faith or in proper doctrine. And if you're strong, if the Word of God is something that the Lord has enabled you to be able to not only comprehend and apprehend into your own heart, but also able to articulate or to teach or to instruct or to bring reproof. And we saw how it's always done in love. Amen. Can I encourage you then with something? Your presence is needed. The body requires your presence. There's people in need. He goes on and he says in this chapter, he says, we're not to then please ourselves, but let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And we've mentioned it many times, but again, as we're looking at this proper application, so you're not coming up here to get blessed. You're not coming up here because you have a need. You're not coming up here because it's a night that, well, I feel real refreshed and I have a lot of energy. I think I'll just head on up there. Spend a little bit of time. Bless the people with my appearance. It's not about you. It's about edifying the body. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. He's in the midst. We can go on and look a couple of the principles that you know, we see as we're here still in this fourth chapter of Ephesians. Jump back over there for just a second and we'll look at a couple of other aspects of this in Ephesians 4, 29 and 32. We went over this and some other applications and aspects of it a number of months ago. But look what he says. He says, don't allow corrupt communication to proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So we take some of the positive aspects in there. We see some admonition, of course, that there can't be strife and bitterness and conflict in our midst. But he talks about the corrupt communication that proceeds out of our mouth. Anything that is not edifying is that corrupt communication. One of the things we surely can't be found doing is promoting our liberties, which we'll see if they really are liberties. Well, I'm not going tonight because I think, you know, I think this is just as important here, and this is something that we really enjoy doing, and this is the body, and this is, that's corrupt communication. It's not flowing in agreement with the doctrine that's been set forth. It is not edifying if it's not unifying. And we see that principle as it goes on. Now, we don't have time, but you can go back to Romans and see if, in fact, at times there are some liberties, then have them to yourself before God. Amen? But don't be soliciting other people. And so we see then that as we're preparing ourselves to stand in this last hour, the things that can come in through this self-will and this lawlessness that we've been looking at, every man doing what's right in his own eyes, and well, don't we have rights? We can do what we want to do. Not if you're part of the body of Christ. You can't do whatever you want to do. God has set up guidelines for us. The guidelines come through those that He's put into the church to edify the church, to perfect the church, to prepare you for God's call and placement on your life, to make sure that we don't get caught up in and destroyed by all the cares of this world. That we've just spent how many hours talking about now that, well, I've got liberties and I can handle it. God said you can't handle it, and He said, I've put together a structure to protect you, to cause you to be able to stand, that'll help strengthen one another. Now, how binding is this? What are we looking at here, and how does it relate to the hour that we're in? I want you to come together. And I want you to come and bring edification and minister grace to the hearers that are around you. That's our responsibility. That's our call. Hebrews chapter 10. We're running out of time. Hebrews chapter 10. We come together and this, we could spend hours and hours and hours and hours in these verses here. What fearful and wondrous and awesome truths are spoken in these few verses. I mean, he's putting forth here the doctrine of our redemption and the propitiation through the blood of Jesus. That God is trying to get the Word of God, the law of God, in our hearts and in our minds. And says our sins and iniquities He will remember no more. I've given you an access through the blood of Jesus. Enter in boldly through this new and living way. Draw near, verse 22, hallelujah. Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Being washed from an evil conscience with the pure water of the Word of God. Hold fast your profession of faith. And then 24. and let us consider one another. Let's just stop there in the verse for just a moment. When we're going to absence ourselves, how often do you consider everybody else before you make that decision? How much time do you spend in prayer asking God about this decision? Let us consider one another. You know, as we talk about the responsibilities of gathering together daily and you know, understanding that this is the criteria of God for the church. Well, I don't want to bog down. Let's go back to Hebrews. Stay here in Hebrews for just a second. Consider one another. And then he says, in that consideration, I want you to provoke unto love and to good works the edifying of the body, the reason we come together. Whenever we are together as a community, whenever we're together in our homes and just fellowshipping together, this mandate is ever before us. Oh, we can spend hours on secular things, on non-essential things, on things that are vanity. And there's things that are permissible. I understand that. But when Paul was giving that comment, he said, you know, I'm not under the power of any of these things. Some of these areas that we have in the secular realm, in the mundane. He says, however, I will not be under the power of any of them. And he said, though they may be lawful, they don't all edify. Amen? So we're to seek then, what is it that edifies? When we're together, we're to say, am I absolutely making sure that I'm provoking my brothers, my sisters, unto love and to good works? Always encouraging one another. Come out. Don't touch the unclean thing. We need reminded. In us, in our flesh, there's no good thing. Every propensity of this natural man is toward evil and toward selfishness and all of the different aspects that we know to be carnality. Do you need to be reminded at times? Do you need to be encouraged, exhorted, provoked? I do. I need people to help me and to point out different times in my life when I'm slacking off or I'm missing something. By just coming and saying, well, wait a minute, doesn't the word say this? And all of a sudden your spirit goes off and goes, yeah, that's what we're, praise God, that's what we're doing. Amen. I was justifying doing all of this, and I can find a lot of reasons and a lot of excuses, but yeah, what you said is the word of God. We're going to do that. Are we that teachable? Do we love the truth? Do we love that aspect of the word of God? The reproof, the rebuke, the instruction in righteousness? Do you gravitate to those parts of the word, or do you always go to the bless me parts? He goes on in this chapter and look what he says. I want you to bring about this provocation and make sure, verse 25, that you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, let me remind you of this. There's some among us. So the question we would ask tonight is, are you part of the some? Because there's some that feel it's okay to forsake the assembly. But I command you not to. But here's what you're to do. Exhort one another. And the scripture tells us that it's to be done daily. Amen? Exhorting one another daily, the scripture says. Here he says, I want you to exhort one another. And then he says, the exhortation, the reproofs, the fellowshipping around the word of God, the provocation to love and good works, more as you see the day approaching. So as we start to wind down for tonight, and we ask this question of ourselves quite often, do we believe Jesus' return is imminent? Is Jesus coming back? Are we living in that hour? If we are, then we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and even more, be more conscious, be more aware. Don't make the mistake of thinking you're the exception to this. A lot of times people don't even go on into the next verse. For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for our sins. So right in the middle of all of this redemption, revelation, if there's no other name under heaven, and if we reject the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, there's no other process by where men can be saved. He goes on and says that, we see in chapter 6 and also here, but he says that what's done then is we tread the blood of Jesus beneath our feet, counting it an unholy thing. In this package that he's speaking of, we find these verses inserted in there, and they're in there for a reason. You're coming together for these truths to keep people, to keep us provoked into knowing that we're bought with a price. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We don't belong to ourselves. There is no other way to salvation. Jesus must be Lord. Amen? Well, how's he Lord if you're doing what you want to do? And our culture tries to begin to dictate to us. You're hard put to go find a church today that meets on Sunday nights. Now, let's find an excuse. Let's make an argument. Let's use the Bible to do it. Okay. Well, the scripture says that we're to meet daily, and we met Sunday morning. So that meets the rule, doesn't it? Does it meet the ever need of more and even more as you see the days approaching? We'll show you some other principles as we look here, but what is it that's causing us to want to take more time to ourselves than to offer up all to Jesus. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures evermore. The zeal of your house has eaten me up. It's a house of prayer. It's where I can go commune and fellowship with God. It's where the saints gather. The disciples went to the temple daily. You need to understand something, that Islam didn't come up with those principles. It stole it from the covenant people of God, their prayer hours. There were hours of prayer, weren't they? Designated. We see it spoken of numerous times. And when they went into the temple at the hour of prayer and the lame man was healed. And in the hour of prayer, Peter was sitting up on the housetop and the sheets were dropped down and the Holy Spirit. So we have all of these designated times of prayer. But always, as Paul said, my custom, as soon as I got in town, we went to church, we went to the synagogues, we came to bring the gospel. We know, and clearly, and I won't get off on it tonight, but the church then meeting daily. Yeah, but we're Americans. We're busy. We have stuff to do. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, you know, well, here we are with all this idleness and all of this time. And we know that the early church, we see the church fathers, we see it in the scriptures. We know that the flesh is the flesh and it will always gravitate toward self-indulgence. One of the things in those days, though, people were asking, they said, you know, what did people do with their time? Well, first of all, they worked from sunup to sundown, right? And the preparation and the different things to prepare food and meals and cut wood and get water and the hours and hours and hours that that took, the working, whether it was in the fields as sowers and as farmers and those that were shepherds and all that was involved in all of that that was taking place. And in addition to all of that, the church met daily. And so we're looking and trying to ask ourselves, can this really speak to us? We are so busy. Much of our busyness is self-imposed. And so we need to reevaluate where our treasures are and what our treasures are. Look down at verse 37 as you read through this chapter, and we'll end with this. But I want you to see something. And even more as you see that day approaching. Even more as you see that day approaching. He says in verse 36, you have need of patience after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of those that believe to the saving of our souls. Drawing back, the manner of some. Drawing back, the manner of some. Don't you realize the day of the Lord is at hand? He will not tarry. The day of the Lord is at hand. And even more as you see the day approaching. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he speaks and he says, you know, he said, I'm not seeking my own profit, my own gain, my own benefits, but I'm seeking the good of others. So that I can be assured that they're saved. What a statement out of the heart of Paul, amen? I'm not seeking my profit, my gain, my comfort. I want to make sure that everybody around me is saved, praise God. That they're ready when that trumpet sounds. This is just one little aspect of the main topic that we've been talking about, being prepared when the Lord comes. Probably no better preparation than making sure that you're being ministered to daily, cared for, edified, taught, reproved, rebuked, and then fulfilling the scriptural principle, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? As we give of our lives and lay our lives down for others. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and for your presence. We just ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts to the word of God and open our hearts to the encouragement of our brothers and sisters and open our hearts to the fruit of our lives. As we receive love and we receive reproof and we receive instruction, let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, let me just start caring about other people. We think we love them because we're not backbiting. We think we love someone because we are not offending them. You've told us to do good, not hoping for anything in return. All of the hours we spend with our, quote, best friends, we reciprocate. How about just blessing somebody that doesn't have anything to give back to us? Just caring because you care, because they're part of your body. That's part of your body, Jesus. I'm going to go lift them up. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to see where they stand in the revelation, the knowledge of God in preparation. That they're not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm going to make it my part to lift up hands that are hanging down and to comfort the feeble-minded. In my strength, I'm going to comfort the weak and not be taken up with myself. That's the cross. That's loving others as we've been loved. Jesus, that's your church. And we ask that you would work it in us, and we'll give you all the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, even more, praise God.